I guess it works. The John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. And I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. You know these are challenging times. I don't have to tell you that. And Rocket Mortgage is here and prepared to help. Even if you're not a current Rocket Mortgage customer, if you need some mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage will be with you every step of the way. Wow, it's good to get started this morning. It's been fun. That first hour flew by. And hopefully you are going to have an amazing, amazing time hanging out with us. We tend to have fun. We sometimes get a little fired up. We sometimes have a little bit of drama. That's fine. We can have that too. And hopefully you've enjoyed that you found some modicum of positivity on Sundays. I can't imagine the amount of people that wake up and want to think doom and gloom, want to wake up and think the world's ending, want to think. I can't imagine waking up and dealing with that. More importantly, I can't imagine, like, if I had to be married to someone that was that way, or I had to work next to somebody that was that way. So I don't understand why anybody in radio or television would ever want to be that. I would think that that would be something that would be not a positive, that wouldn't be a good thing. But, hey, everybody makes their creative choices, right? When you're asked to pick sides in a debate, in a confrontation, when you get sucked into it and you're asked to pick sides, it's a very, very annoying thing that you have to decide who's telling you the truth. And for a period of 11 days, so I went back and looked this week because I'm a geek, and I've told you that before. I am a geek, self-described. I had to go back and look and say, okay, how has the story of the negotiation or the dispute between the Major League Baseball Players Association and the owners as far as getting play back on the field, how has that been discussed, debated, and, you know, what kind of information have people received? And what we found is that over time during this dispute, the case was made that the players were arguing, well, if we're going to come back, we have an agreement. We came to an agreement with the owners. We already took a pay cut. And now they want us to take more? This isn't fair. Now, look, if that was true, if it was true, and by the way, spoiler alert on this story, it's not. It's not. It was a flat-out lie you were being told. If it was true that the Players Association and the owners had a hard and fast agreement that the pay cut that they had already agreed to was going to be the only pay cut they would have to take, then that's understandable. Okay, I'd be pissed too. If my management came to me and said, John, we need you to take a pay cut, and we have an agreement here, you're going to take a pay cut, and you're going to take this pay cut, and you're going to take this pay cut for this certain amount of time, okay? We need you to just suck it up, be part of the team. Guess what? Everybody's happy to be working. Everybody's happy to have a career, have a way to feed the family during these terrible times that we've went through. And so everybody will deal with it. Okay. That's, it's cool. It's cool. It's fun. We can deal with that. We can handle this. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We can handle that. But the Players Association and members of the Players Association publicly let you know that we had an agreement with the owners. And now they're coming back to the table and they want us to give up more. Well, what if you knew now that that was a lie? By the way, if you don't know that it's a lie, it was. Because we can tell, and you can go to the New York Post and you can read the leaked memo, where the Players Association, yeah, they had an agreement with the owners. But by a leaked memo, it was clearly shown that the players knew that if there were going to be no fans in the stands, they were going to have to renegotiate the agreement that they'd reached. Reasonable, right? If there's no fans in the stands, I use the some numbers here from various organizations. There are numbers that are listed out in the Business Journal regarding Major League Baseball teams and what percentage of their revenues are generated by fans being in the stands. What that includes is parking. What it includes is the price of the ticket. It includes the revenues they make of everything that you consume once you go, beers and food and all that kind of stuff. By the way, the profit margin on beers and sodas at these games is crazy, crazy. And then you might buy T-shirts, you might buy, while you're at the stadium, you're going to buy a pennant, you're going to buy all these other kind of other things. Do kids still buy pennants? Do parents buy pennants anymore?
I collect them.
You do. See, I have them. I have them. So it's fine. I mean, I've got them. I kept them. I have a pennant, Anthony, every year that one of my teams played for the championship. The teams that I am obsessed with.
Gotcha.
Which, honestly, I have a, like I'm a Sixers fan, but I don't have a pennant of the Sixers being in the NBA Finals. Because I'm not going to be one of those fraud people who really doesn't follow a team that closely and then when they're in the thing, act like it's like, you know, oh, I've been along for the whole ride. For me, it's my university, Temple University, and it's the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the ones that I, like, live or die. It used to be the Flyers until May 11th, 1988, not that I hold a grudge, when I got fired, when Mike Keenan got fired. But that's another story for another day. This is the Players Association lied to us. Or members of the Players Association lied to us. The 19th of May, by the way, you can go and you can read the memo. Right from the New York Post. And you can, Joel Sherman had it, and you can check it out for yourself. It was free, and it's right there, and there's the memo for you, dated March 26th at 10:41 a.m. The players knew that if there were going to be no fans in the stands, that everything was going to have to be revisited. How come they're not telling you that? How come they're not letting you know that? You know why? Because it sounds better to lie to you and say, the owners want us to take more of a pay cut, and now we had a deal. Whenever someone says to you, we had a deal, we had a deal, we had a deal, whatever it is, however they present it to you, when they use those words, they're trying to portray you as reneging on a deal. They're trying to portray you as someone who doesn't honor their word. And that's what they're trying to do. That's what they're trying to do with the Major League Baseball owners. They wanted to pollute the waters and make you believe that the Major League Baseball owners were cheating the players. That's a flat out lie. By the way, it's the 24th and no one has disputed the leaked memo. No one has claimed that the leaked memo is false. So you've been lied to. You were portrayed as, look, these owners, these big bad owners, these owners are trying to take money from us. We had a deal. We had a deal. And now they're trying to screw us over. Lies. I don't know about you, but when someone wants me to take sides in a battle, they want me to choose like what side I'm on, and one side is lying to me about what the other side did to them, I must say, At that point, I stop believing one side in anything that they're telling me. Because the Players Association reps should have come out the minute that people were saying, we had a deal. We had a deal, and now they're asking us to renegotiate that deal. The Players Association heads should have come out and said, that's false information. Yes, we had a deal, but we promised that, and we knew that if Major League Baseball was not coming back with fans in the stands, we would have to redo the deal. That should have been made clear to the public immediately. It wasn't. You know why? Because they were trying to make the owners look bad. Flat out. The players can stay home. And by the way, I love a lot of Major League Baseball players. I've gotten to know a lot of guys, and I'm big fans of them personally. Big fans of them professionally because I am a baseball fan. But if Major League Baseball players, and I've said it before and I'll say it one more time, if they allow money to be the reason that they don't come back to work, a sport that has already taken irreparable damage to their brand, it's just going to get worse and worse for them. Said it many times. The average viewer of Major League Baseball's postseason the last 3 years is 56 years old. Not to be a spoiler alert here, but 56-year-old people, within 30 years, the majority of them are going to be dead. In fact, I'd probably say the vast majority of them are going to be dead. You know what that means? Get on your horse, baseball. You got to save your sport. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is sponsored by Geico. You know, Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. That's going to last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for information and for eligibility. It's a great, great thing. I know this is coming. The big slobber fest is coming on Tom Brady, and we're going to talk about that coming up on the show. But there's another one coming your way tonight that I would just like to comment on, and boy, this is going to be popular. This is going to go over really well. It's going to go over like a fart in church. Tonight, I'm asking, Anthony, are you going to be in front of the TV for the Lance Armstrong documentary?
I probably will not be watching, no.
Okay, now I love you even more than I did. I love you even more than I did. Lance Armstrong and I, at one point, had a similar path in life. And as a young man, I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and then I had testicular cancer. And when I heard about Lance Armstrong having testicular cancer and the battles with that, I felt like a kindred spirit. Anybody who has walked the walk understands what kind of a battle it is. My sympathy for him, my admiration for him, my appreciation for what he went through, I walked it. I lived it. I understood it. And I respected the hell out of him. And then his post-cancer life started. And I can tell you this. From the day I went through cancer, I've never been the same. I have a thyroid that works at like a 37% deficit. My thyroid affected. My thyroid looks like Swiss cheese. If you look at it on like an X-ray, looks like Swiss cheese. It doesn't work. Now, I could have it taken out, but if I have it taken out, my voice could change. And that's something that I was never willing to risk. Not that this voice is that good, but I didn't want my voice to be like this, and then maybe I would never ever be on the radio again. Oh, I might sound like this on the radio. I might sound like the Mad Dog. Love you, Mad Dog. He knows I'm joking. I might be like this. Or back after this. You know, I might sound like that. You don't know what you're going to sound like. So I don't want to mess with my voice. But when I saw Lance Armstrong coming back, you never truly feel the same. There's some part of you, there's some part of your energy level, there's some part of you that is always affected. And you can get better, and you can survive the cancer, but it is a damn struggle with certain things for the rest of your life. There are certain things that you just are never going to be the same. My metabolism is one of them. I went from the day I walked in to, I had trouble, they used to be able to count my ribs, to having to make sure that anything I eat, I pay for. And I'm seeing Lance Armstrong be Superman. And I never believed it. And I told people I never believed it. I never believed that he was bigger, better, stronger, faster, all the better coming through what he came through. I'm like, I don't believe it. And I would say to people, I would say it on the radio. Something about it doesn't make sense to me. I don't believe it. You know what? My instincts were right. I shouldn't have believed it because it was a fraudulent story. You can't just do that on your own. Bigger, better, stronger, faster, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't happen that fast for someone coming back from cancer. It doesn't. And deny. Oh, I deny. And then finally the truth came out. I will sit out the Lance Armstrong story tonight. And no, I don't care if he, you know, decides to come clean more and apologizes or whatever, because honestly, it was fraudulent. And it was a fraudulent message. And it was a fraudulent message to everybody who's ever come through it. Fraudulent. That's just me. Your thoughts at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. I know today I'm going to hike a mountain. I'm going to cook ribeye steaks. And I'm watching a golf match that really I am looking forward to. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Hold on tight. We'll muddle through one day at a time, one day at a time. So up on your feet. Somewhere there's music playing. Don't you worry none. We'll just take it like it comes one day at a time. One day at a time. Na, na, na. One day at a time. Take it right? One day at a time. Bring it home. One day at a time. Anthony, you never watched One Day at a Time ever, even on reruns?
No, I've never seen an episode.
And you didn't realize it was 9 years running.
Long time. Had a good run.
Do you know that was where Eddie Van Halen fell in love with Valerie Bertinelli?
I did not.
Eddie Van Halen watched Valerie Bertinelli like on One Day at a Time and was obsessed with her, I guess. Like, you know, thought she was just Barbara Cooper, her character. She was one of the first, as far as a young man, I was in love with Barbara Cooper, her character. Loved her. Loved Barbara. She was absolutely adorable, so cute. But the first dog that we ever had, because I never had a dog growing up until I was an eighth grader. And we named the dog Schneider after Pat Harrington's character, who was a great character, by the way. M.S. Romano. He would call Bonnie Franklin's character M.S. Romano. Because she was one of the first divorcee characters on mainstream TV, by the way, at the time. You know, tonight at 6 Eastern Time, 3 Pacific, the Esports GT Series continues. Shift your Sunday into gear as elite e-racers put their virtual driving skills to the test on CBS Sports Network. And my buddy Bill checks in. He says, how about Aunt Becky? Full house to the big house. Full house to the big house. Now, Anthony, I think that they should steal Bill's idea, and that should be a documentary.
2020 special.
Well, it's 2 months. It's 2 months. She has to spend 2 months in the big house. Now, will somebody be there doing Popeye impersonations? Dave Coulier. Whatever happened to my freedom? Now I got to go to a community shower. This is terrible. That's terrible. That's it. Now, by the way, so if I read one story right this week, her one daughter's not talking to her. Is not talking to her parents because of this scandal. By the way, the daughter, if you're not talking to your parents, that's cool. If you were a boy, I'd say if you want to be Billy Big Balls and you're going to shun your parents and not talk to your parents, I think that's absolutely cool. Here's what I'd suggest. Don't take their money. Because mom and dad are supposedly still paying the bills. Don't take their money. If you don't want to talk to your parents, that's fine. Go make your own way in life. Whit in Virginia joins us. Whit, you're on the John Kincaid Show. How are you, buddy?
What's going on? How are y'all?
I'm doing all right, Whit. Another cool name. Here. I like that name.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm sitting here laughing. I'll show my age. I'm flashing back through visualizing Schneider taking the hairdryer out and cleaning off his tools. Or
yes, yes.
I mean, people that haven't seen it.
It's funny,
yeah,
eh?
Right?
Oh, I love Pat Harrington.
The reason I called, I was telling the screener that the Lance Armstrong deal. I got a rising junior in high school right now.
So do I.
So I seize any opportunity I can to teach quote unquote moments of learning. This is one of those. When I saw that the special was coming out, I literally was like, okay, so what's the motive and what are you trying to prove here? Because you better be careful what, you know, sometimes you might get it. Careful what you wish for, you know what I'm saying? Because I was trying to tell my son, like, you know, we're going to watch this thing, but ... And, you know, for him to, my kind of take on it is he just, his arrogance and rationalizing, well, everybody else was doing it, therefore it made it okay, is just... Really?
That's a message. And then guess what? You have a rising junior. I got a rising junior. Now I have a daughter. You have a son. I can tell you this much. I've told my daughter a million times, and I know her. She's very strong-willed. She has very strong opinions. She's her own woman. And I say to her all the time, one excuse you're never going to be able to use on dad is, well, everybody was doing it. Or I got talked into doing something. Because I'm going to be like, I can't talk you into anything without a negotiation. So I don't want to hear that some other teenager talked you into something. If you do something, you did it. It's your choice.
That's exactly right. You know, and teenagers these days, and not to segue off into that, but they have temptations that we never dreamed of.
Absolutely. And aren't you glad we didn't have them?
Well, yes and no. In parts of me are jealous, but at the same time, you know, I'm one of these parents, I get asked all the time, do my wife and I police our son's phone and internet time, for instance? And I'm like, no. I leave it real simple. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. He's a pretty good ball player, and he's trying to play ball after he gets out of high school if he ever gets to play baseball again because of the coronavirus. But
Right. Anyway,
it's one of those deals. Hey, dude, you're smart, and if you cause us to police you, then we'll police you. Otherwise, don't be stupid. But anyway, well, I mean, that's
– I love that, Whit.
I to listen to what you have
I love
to say,
it. Thanks,
man.
Whit. Take care, man. All right, I want to get to Barry in Atlanta. Barry, what's going on, brother?
Well, as a fellow Marist father, I just want to thank you so much for your positivity. I'm in the restaurant business here in Atlanta. Your station here in Atlanta has been very positive to all the restaurants and local businesses. I just think we need a lot more of that positivity in this world now. And when you talked about earlier about fans in the stands, my thought is it's not even June yet, and we're already trying to make major decisions on what's going to happen in September and October.
And why would we do that? You know?
The numbers are down. You know, our governor got a lot of flack for what he did, but now he's getting a lot of praise for what he did because our numbers are down. They're not spiking as we've reopened. It's allowing businesses to go back to work. It's allowing people to go back to work. So when these multi-million dollar sports athlete start whining about losing half their salary. Well, why don't you try working at, you know, 10, 11, 12 bucks an hour like some of our employees do, and they're not making any money. Well, they're making some money from the government, but they're making a pittance of what these guys are. Have a little compassion for our fellow people.
Absolutely. All right, I hope to see you at a football game this fall. Adam Marist, take care, buddy. It's one of, one of the other parents here at my daughter's school, which is great. I'm glad to see him coming back. Peter Schwartz is with us. He's going to give you the update in the world of sports. But, Peter, 40 years ago, our lives converged, and we didn't even know each other.
Didn't know each other. Number 10, Hennig. To Tinelli. Here's Tinelli with Meister. The pass to Meister.
That was my finger slipped. That was Dan Kelly.
That was Dan Kelly. I thought it was Tim Ryan for some reason.
Well,
I don't know
Tim why. Ryan did the set. Tim Ryan, who was the Islanders TV broadcaster at the time and who also worked at CBS, Dan Kelly stepped aside in the second period to let Tim Ryan do the game second period.
Now, I noticed you didn't pick the play-by-play of the offside goal, which... If it didn't count, we never even have overtime. Where the Islanders
You also don't know what's going to happen the rest of the game.
No, you're right. But Leon Stickle blew an obvious offsides goal. Obvious. I mean, it was blatantly offside. Go and watch it on anything you need. There should have been a seventh game in Philly.
Again, if they call that goal offsides, you don't know how the rest of May 24th
you're
goes.
You're right. But, if your aunt had, she'd be your uncle. That's a blatant call that affected a championship. Not many times do you see that.
Well,
Cardinals Royals game six, that affected it. Where it changed, and I don't know, maybe, and even if it had went to a game seven, maybe the Islanders would have won one of the games in would have won game seven in Philly, and they most certainly could have. There's one thing I will tell you. That Islanders dynasty, I think, was better than the Oilers one. I think they were.
Well, they won 19 straight playoff series.
I think the Oilers were awesome. But I really do believe those Islander teams were just spectacular. They were so fundamentally sound. Al Arbor was such a great coach.
He was great. And Bill Torrey was a great GM.
The thing about that team,
well, there's two things about that dynasty. I mentioned the 19 straight playoff wins. But also, they had 16 players played on all four Stanley Cup teams.
Uh-huh.
It's impossible with the salaries and the salary caps.
Oh my
gosh. You'll never see that again. And
Trotz was my. I didn't like any of your Islanders. In fact, I wished. I wished like food poisoning on all of them. But Trottier was my favorite.
I had Brian Trottier on my podcast the other day.
Oh, did
he's
you?
He's going to be a head coach. Yeah, he's going to be a head coach in this new. Did you hear about this new hockey league that's starting next year? Three on three.
Oh,
it's
that's
called
awesome.
Three Ice. Yeah, they're gonna have a. It's like a trial. It's gonna be like the Big Three basketball. It's gonna be the same thing for hockey, 3-on-3, and they're gonna have stops at 9 different locations next summer. And there's 8 teams. He's gonna be one of the coaches. Grant Fuhr is gonna be another coach in that league.
Awesome. Well, when I got to work in the NHL, I got to have a couple conversations with him. And getting to work for a guy like Mike Keenan, I got to see how hard these coaches work. And Mike Keenan's respect back in the day for Al Arbor was monumental. So I would hear stories about that. But every time I walked into that Nassau Mausoleum and I stayed at that...
Be was nice
it a,
now.
Was
Be
it
nice.
A, was it
Be
a Marriott?
Nice.
Was it the Marriott?
Marriott.
Stay at? Right in the parking
lot. Yeah, I was married in that Marriott.
That's incredible. I mean, I spent so much time there in my career when I was with the Flyers, and it would just...
And you never said hello to me. You never stopped over a couple towns over to say hello to me.
Did you have to deal with Chris Botta at that time with the Islanders?
Started working professionally, I
Chris
did, yes.
Because Chris was with the Flyers organization when I was there. which is crazy. Chris, he was in
Chris was my boss. Chris was my boss when the Islanders owned the arena football team, the Dragons. And
there you go.
I worked for him. Yeah.
See, we've crossed paths so many times, Peter. I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. This is going to give you a big bear hug.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Thanks so much for hanging out with the John Kincaid Show. Anthony Piano, did you know this song has significance for me?
With the Flyers, right?
No. The hockey team, the high school team.
The high school, okay, hockey, yeah.
Were the Downingtown Whippets, yes.
It had something to do with hockey.
They were the Whippets. And we would come out to this song. This would be the song when the first skate hit the ice during warm-ups. I would have this playing in the arena for our home games. And it was fun. It was fun. And you know what we played every time that a goal was scored?
What?
Brass Bonanza. You know Brass Bonanza?
Just I don't.
Google Brass Bonanza. And you find Brass Bonanza. And then you got to cue it up and make sure you can hear it. But you got to get it from the very beginning when it starts. And many people will know this that are hockey fans. Will know Brass Bonanza. But on our home games in our home arena, every time we scored a goal... You got to get it from the very beginning, though. You got to get it from the very, very beginning where it could. That would blast through the arena. Because this is what the Hartford Whalers played when they scored a goal. Da 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 bum 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 bum. So imagine that. You score a goal and the whole arena, this is blasting through the arena. And it was Brass Bonanza. This was the Hartford Whalers song. The gentleman says, Alan, listening to the show, he sends an email along and he says, I loved you singing the One Day at a Time theme song. It took me back. You know, every time I hear you sing one of those theme songs, it's so stupid, it's funny. So I asked him, I said, can I have permission to use that as the official sort of slogan for the show? It's so stupid that it's funny. It'd be better than what some other people say about it. You're free to join us anytime you wish at 855-212-4CBS. And today, we get to see the match. Tiger and Peyton versus Phil and Brady. So Peyton and Brady on opposite teams, Tiger and Phil on opposite teams. And we saw last time that Tiger and Phil got together for this. They were devoid of personality. They were completely devoid of personality. And it got boring quickly. I am a golf zealot, a golf fan, so it was more interesting to me than it was to the common person that really doesn't have the same level of love for just watching two masters go at it like that. But we found out that Tiger and Phil had no personality. So what they needed to do is infuse some personality. Now, Tom Brady being a part of it, maybe Tom's going to surprise me, but the last thing I've ever thought of is Tom Brady fun. Peyton Manning, I think fun. Tom Brady, I don't think fun. And that doesn't mean that I don't think Tom Brady is freaking awesome. He's awesome. I just don't think of him as fun. I don't think of him as a goofball. I don't think of him as a Peyton Manning to me. And maybe this is wrong. I think of Peyton Manning as a guy's guy. Guy's guy. I think of Tom Brady as metrosexual. Very worried about his appearance. Very worried about, is he wearing the right color combination? Very worried. I see Peyton Manning being much more your buddy that you would roll up to play a round of golf with. And maybe that's incorrect, by the way. I'm just saying that is, I'm saying it's my impression. My buddy Jay Feely, happy birthday, Jay Feely, by the way. You know, Tom was his best man. And, you know, he'll tell you stories about Tom as a, you know, as a competitor and Tom as this, but just fun. I don't picture Tom Brady being that fun. Today is a chance to be able to change that image. Today's going to be a little chance to see it. I can't wait to see these guys go at it today and see this match. This is fun. It's for charity, and we'll get to see it this afternoon. Here's one thing, though, I would like to see. You guys are creative on social media, and I'm asking you to be as clean as possible, okay? But if you want to go double entendre, that is fair game. As you know, if you listen to this show, I am a huge fan of the double entendre comment. I consider that to be very much fair game, and I enjoy it. So using social media, at John Kincaid, K-I-N-C-A-D-E, if you have some trash talk that Brady could use on Peyton, that Peyton could use on Brady, that Tiger could use on Phil, that Phil could use on Tiger, between them, I want your best line. And if you want to go double entendre, where it's something that I can use, I will use it on the air. I don't want your phone calls on this. It's not Open Phones America. This isn't Larry King. We don't do Mount Rushmore shows. We don't do any of that. Call us with your, who's your five favorite quarterbacks of all time? We don't do that. We actually do a thing called show prep. But if you've got some trash talk you would like to contribute, because I believe there are some of you out there who could come up with some really great lines. Eli Manning joins Twitter. And I heard Peter Schwartz talk about that. And Tom Brady saying, much like in Eli Manning's career, I'm paraphrasing, he doesn't show up till the fourth quarter, but he showed up now on Twitter. I'm anxious to see how much fun Peyton can make this group today. Because I've seen that Tiger and Phil are about as fun as a lunch with Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci. I mean, it's just not fun. I'm going to see if Peyton Manning can rescue this entire group, can tweak people, can get people a little bit off their game, let's put it that way, as far as being as uptight as possible. We have things that are coming. In fact, did you see the new rule proposal? And by the way, there is a new rule proposal that is out there for the Rules Committee to vote for. And by the way, in the NFL. And I think a lot of people are lost on this. It does not eliminate the onside kick. It does not eliminate the surprise onside kick. If you want to do the surprise onside kick, you can still do it. But now, if you're trailing in a game, you have two opportunities. Anytime that you're trailing, when you score, you've got the opportunity, in lieu of a kickoff attempt or a onside kick attempt, you can decide to have one chance to convert a 4th and 15 from your own 25-yard line. One play, one chance to convert. Anthony, I don't know about you, but the idea of Sam Darnold's down in a game. Sam Darnold's down to the Steelers. You guys are down 27-13 in the fourth quarter. And Darnold drives the Jets down the field and they score, kick the extra point. It's now 27-20. There's a minute 41 left on the clock. I'm giving you a mythical scenario. Do you want the 4th and 15 from your own 25 with one chance to keep the ball and have a chance to tie? Or do you want an attempted onside kick?
Oh, 4th and 15.
Can you think of how exciting that would be? And by the way, you have two options to do it in a game. You can do it twice. You can have two attempts to do it in a game. I love this idea. I love this idea. Now, I work with a quarterback every week on my show in Atlanta. Buck Ballou won the national championship at Georgia on the Buck and Kincaid show. My partner hates it. He hates this idea. He said, why don't you just have like a sprint contest or something? I'm like, look, this is a football play. At the end of a game, I get to see the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands or Tom Brady's hands or Carson Wentz's hands. And I get to see them with a chance. Drew Brees' hands. I get to see them have a chance to make a play to keep a game alive. I am much more interested in that than wondering if a kicker can convert on an onside kick attempt. To me, much more exciting. You got any thoughts on that? You can share them at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. We only have 1 hour left. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. We got a lot coming your way. But at the top of the hour, you can count me out of the Tom Brady docuseries. I'll tell you why next. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.